Hey guys, I wanted to make this because I felt if I did, it would help me feel better, at least a little bit. I want to tell you about someone very special to me, very important to me. I got the news yesterday about my cousin. I hadn't heard from her since September. She was serving in the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF. I thought she'd gone offline because of where she was stationed and was given a mission where she couldn't have access to social media or any devices. But that was naive optimism. I found out yesterday that she died. She was serving in Syria, and there was an incident. It was described by the carnage that it was a missile strike. They're not sure by who. At least my family wasn't told by who. Whether it was Syria or one of the allies. Either way, her whole team, no one survived. It took them weeks to identify her body. Her English name is Alana, or Lana for short. Lana's what I called her. Her Hebrew name, Ilan, means oak tree. And she was strong like one. She was so strong. We grew up together. She was an Israeli citizen, but her family would travel to the U.S. often to visit the rest of the family. And before the internet, before social media, we would call on the weekends. My family always had international calling cards because my grandmother, on my father's side, stayed in Israel. So we always had calling cards to call my grandmother and to call other family members, including Lana. And we would talk about, you know, kid shit, school, friends, common interests and hobbies. She was more athletic than I was. She loved sports. Football, or soccer, as it's called in the United States, was her favorite. She was beautiful, too. Olive skin, dark hair, piercing green eyes. And she started training long before she got the call to action at 19, because she was an athlete. She was always strong. Always, she was in martial arts. We took martial arts as kids, but we did different kinds. She did gymnastics. She played soccer and tennis. For a brief time, she wanted to be an Olympian. She always had a sense of honor about her. She knew at a young age that she wanted to serve her country. when we were kids, in front of grandmother's home, not too far away, there was a bus bombing by Hamas, and several taxi bombings that same day. And she wanted to protect people. She wanted to protect her family. Because if that bus was any closer, it could have taken out the house with it. And her sense of honor was so strong. She didn't believe that Palestine itself was the enemy. She supported a two-state solution. She went out of her way to learn multiple dialects of Arabic, so when something happened, she could protect civilians on both sides. If there were orders that there was going to be a strike or a shooting, she could shout in multiple languages for people to get to safety. She never wanted any civilians to get hurt. And she thought it was evil of Hamas to use civilians as human shields when they would carry out some of their most heinous actions. Hamas is the government of Palestine, but they're also a terrorist organization. Hamas has proven they don't care about Palestine itself. They don't care about the people. They just care about winning and destroying Israel. So, she never believed that the Palestinian people were evil. She loved all people. She wanted to protect all people. She thought it was the fact that she was so diligent in trying to keep everybody safe, that she was made part of the group that got sent to Syria. Because they felt, perhaps according to her, her heart was too big, and they were afraid she might protect the wrong people. But that was just her confessing one of her fears to me. So, with the conflict in Syria, she got sent first to secure the border. And then, I'm not sure when, but she got orders to go further in. She couldn't tell me much, obviously. She couldn't give away her location. It was a security risk. When we were kids, she always liked to play pretend with me. Our favorite game was Wolf Pack. We pretended we were wolves, defending our pack against bears. It was so stupid and so childish, but we always had each other's backs. She was always a source of strength for me and a source of courage. I always wished I could be as brave as her. She's seen a lot of stuff in her life, but she always held her head high and was strong. When her grandmother passed away in 2016, that was the first time I ever really heard her cry. When we were kids, she would scrape her knees, fall off her bike. She had broken bones, but she never cried. When her grandmother passed, she broke down. Even though grandmother died of natural causes due to her old age. She still is heartbroken. Us girls, we were very close to grandmother. She was like the matriarch and looked out for the family. She was one of the people that Lana wanted to protect. And even though grandmother died of natural causes, she felt she had failed somehow. Even though she knew there was no way grandmother could be immortal. Our grandfather was a Holocaust survivor, as was her father. She was what they would call a late in life baby. Her father was very old when she was born. Didn't think that he could have kids anymore. He passed away, then she got a stepfather and had other siblings. But she was close to father, to her father. And she never really got to know grandfather. Grandfather died when his kids were very young. But he was marked. He had the numbers tattooed on him. And she always believed what many Jewish people believe, Israeli or non, never again. I think that's part of why she had such a big heart, and why she was so loving, and why she was so determined to protect and defend. Because never again. She never wanted to see people suffer ever again. No more war, no more tragedy. She wanted to fight for it. She was always so strong and such a fighter. She was sweet and kind. She didn't want me to serve under any capacity because she felt I had a big heart. But in a different way from her, she called me a healer. She said my job was to get smarter, be an academic, make the world a better place in that way, and use my compassion to emotionally help people. But I think also, when we were young and did martial arts, and she would come visit, we would spar. She always won, and that's because I hesitated a lot. And I think she felt if I were to serve, I'd hesitate and get killed. And she wouldn't be able to live with that, even if we served in completely different factions. I never wanted to hurt her. But she always commented that even with the hesitation, I was always faster, light on my feet. She knew if there was ever anything going wrong that I'd be okay because I was so quick. Quick on my feet, quick to think. She always believed in me. When she found out I attempted suicide, she was angry. but angry in a way out of love. She went out of her way to send me a long letter, most of it in Hebrew, so other people couldn't understand it. And she was just telling me how sorry she was that she couldn't be there for me, that she felt if she was, maybe I wouldn't have felt that way. She didn't blame herself exactly, but she just felt that she wished she could have been there in person so I could talk to her. Even though at the time my problems were so petty and stupid, she respected the fact that no matter what, problems are problems. She was a good listener, and I listened to her too. Whether it was about her interests, particularly in history, she said if she ever properly went to university, that's what she would have studied, world history. And then she would have wanted to work in a museum as a historian, restore old artifacts. She also loved military memorabilia, regardless of the country it was from. She was never a big fan of guns, though, even though she obviously had to use them. She respected uniforms, though. She admired the different designs and the functionalities of them. She used to collect them, old ones, and try to restore them. And she would try to find out who they belonged to, so she could honor their memory. She had so much compassion. She loved animals as much as I did. Her family had a pet dog named Duke. He was a Great Dane. We used to play with him. He passed on when we were in high school. And, well, I didn't see her cry. She was torn up about that, because I knew Duke was her best friend. And she went in the backyard of her house and made a memorial for him. And mailed me pictures. When I lost a pet, I tell her, she would always say a prayer and just talk me through it and in her own way cry for me. Because she just had so much compassion and so much love. She was stubborn, though. Stubborn as a mule. If she wanted something, she would stop at nothing to achieve it. If she didn't get her way with something, oh boy, you're in a world of trouble. And good luck to ever debating with her. She would always find a way to win. Even if she was factually wrong, it didn't matter. She always still won in the end. Just out of her will. Her iron will. She was so fun to be around. She could outdrink any man. Especially wine. She used to make jokes about Jews being the ultimate wine drunks. But give her whiskey and she could put men twice her size, under the table. And she had such a beautiful laugh and smile. I remember one time she came to the States to visit. I was visiting with the family. We went out drinking. I got a little too drunk and she actually carried me to bed. We grew apart as we became adults, for obvious reasons. But we kept in touch, mostly online, always checking in with each other when we could. The word for family in Hebrew is mishpacha. And that's what she was to me, in the full sense of the word. That's what we were to each other. My character Tova was inspired by her. Her motivation, her positive spirit, her energy. So I hope I'll have it linked in her honor. You listen to and watch those videos so you have a good idea of just the kind of person she was. I'm now going to play the Mourner's Kaddish and the Israeli National Anthem, Hatikva. I'd sing it myself, but it's been so many years, my Hebrew is rusty, and there's no way I could do it justice. The version I'm going to be playing is from a Yom HaShoah ceremony, which is the day of mourning for the Holocaust, performed by her fellow soldiers and countrymen in the IDF, because nothing's more fitting than her brothers and sisters singing the prayer for the deceased and the national anthem. Thank you for listening. This really did help. I miss you, Lana. I miss you so much. I love you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm sure she'd be happy to have seen your support. So I hope you enjoy this little taste of our culture in her honor. Here's the Mourner's Kaddish and the Hatikva.
Please remain upstanding. The survivors who are here with us in the first row will please lead us in reciting the Mourner's Kaddish. Please.
יתגדל ויתקדש שמי רבה בעלמה דברה חירותי וימליך מלכותי ויצמח פורקני ויקרב משיחי בחיי חון ובימי חון ובחיי דכל בית ישראל בעגלה ובזמן קריב וימרו אמן יהא שמי רבה מברך לעלם ולעלמי עלמיה יתברך וישתבח ויתפאר ויתרומם ויתנסה ויתהדר ויתעלה ויתהלל שמי דקודשה בריחו לאלה מכל ברכתה ושירתה תושבחתה ונחמתה באמירן בעלמה ואמרו אמן תתקבל אצלאותון ובאונתון דכל בית ישראל קודם אבוהון דבישמיה ואמרו אמן יהא שלמה רבה מן שמיה וחיים טובים עלינו ועל כל ישראל ואמרו אמן עושה שלום במרומיו, הוא יעשה שלום עלינו ועל כל ישראל, ואמרו אמן.
Please remain upstanding. We conclude the 2017 March of the Living Yom HaShoah ceremony with the singing of the National Anthem of Israel, led by Dudu Fischer, Shai Abramson, the IDF Rabbinical Choir, and Tzemed Ra'im. Following the Hatikva and the conclusion of the ceremony, Tfilat Mincha will be led by Elisha Wiesel, just like his father did on one of the very first marches almost 30 years ago. Hatikva.
Yeah.